I'm sure you've heard the song, What's New, Pussycat? So today I want to update you on what's been going on in my world, and welcome back to the HMO Success Podcast. Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. My name's Wendy, and this podcast will help you invest in houses of multiple occupation. Since I last spoke to you on the HMO Success Podcast, I have had an incredible year. We have bought a total of 7 properties. We're actually collecting the keys to another one tomorrow, which is a block of flats. We've been doing refurbs, we've been expanding the business, and we have been generally very busy. As well as that, I've also been involved in the HMO and Council Tax Reform Group, which I'm sure that you're aware of. And this reform group formed last year to fight what we believe is the iniquitous council tax banding of individual HMO rooms. So I'm going to update you in a moment on that campaign and let you know how that's going and also how you can get involved. There's been a lot this year going on in HMOs, a huge amount. And I'm back. The podcast is back, and I'm going to be commenting and introducing you to some of those ideas, approaches to growing your HMO business, helping you to find deals, helping you to raise finance, helping you to make a success of HMOs. So let's start with the campaign, first of all. Let me update you a little bit about what's been happening with the HMO Council Tax Reform Group. Now, this year, we have been strategizing about how best to make a very simple change. And ultimately, it comes down to a very simple amendment to the law, which basically we want stated in the law that if an HMO room does not contain the 4 elements of self-containment, which are eating, sleeping, cooking, and washing, nearly forgot that one for a moment. If it doesn't contain all those 4 elements, that we believe that it should not be banded individually for council tax. And I'm sure if you're an HMO owner, you would agree with me on this. We are seeing case after case of people who have small HMO portfolios. They're not multimillionaires. They are not on the Sunday Times rich list. They simply have tried to invest in HMOs for their family, for their children's future, possibly for their own retirement. And they're seeing the value of their investment destroyed by the single banding of their individual rooms for council tax purposes. Now, the truth is that actually those landlords do not have to pay that council tax. Under something called the hierarchy of liability, oh yes, it becomes very technical and not terrifically interesting, but I'm afraid if you're going to beat the system, you have to know these details. And under the hierarchy of liability, it states that when a dwelling is rebanded for council tax, it is actually the tenant who becomes liable for the payment of said tax. So although in the HMO regulations, we read that actually it's the landlord who is responsible for payment of council tax, and many ASTs that HMO landlords have created and produced will contain that clause, actually, if that room is rebanded by the Valuation Office agency for council tax, in actual fact, it's the tenant who now becomes liable. So if you're a landlord and this has happened to you, you can pass that on to the tenant legally. And that actually is a precedes the AST in terms of the hierarchy in law. However, pragmatically speaking, you might feel that if you are going to pass that tax on to the tenant, they might be able to get the single person's discount. Obviously, if they're a single person, they would be able to get that. So that reduces their bill by 25%, but it's still an increase in costs on their shoulders. And maybe you found that actually renting your rooms has not been terribly easy. There's a lot of competition in your area. And so it's not going to help that you're now renting rooms with council tax added on. I've seen lots of different approaches for this. I've seen landlords do a kind of 50-50 deal with their tenants where they offer to pay half the increase and the tenant pays half the increase. So effectively, the tenant might be paying another £40 a month. It's only £10 a week. It's affordable. It's a bit like paying a little bit more for the rent. But in return, they're keeping their room. You as the landlord, however, then have to make a contribution of maybe £40 a month as well. But together, those small sort of jigsaw puzzles of payment add up to being the amount of council tax. This does work, and I've seen many cases where this has been a very good compromise reached between the tenant and the landlord, and it's working. On the other hand, I've also heard of some dreadful stories, some awful horror stories, where landlords have felt that this iniquitous tax has been applied completely wrongly. But not only that, has been backdated. And suddenly the landlord is facing a huge 20, 30, 40, even £50,000 fine bill from the local authority for unpaid council tax. Now, it is these backdated bills that are often causing incredible distress to people. And it is for this reason, not just this reason, but this is one of the reasons why we believe that simply banning an individual room, which might just have a bed, a wardrobe, a chest of drawers in it, it might not have an ensuite, and it might not be in a licensed HMO, because there are many four-bed HMOs across the country, which do not require licensing. But we're even seeing those bedrooms being rebanded for council tax. This is illogical, it is unfair, and it is absolutely discriminatory. Now, why do I say it's discriminatory? Because we're also learning about cases where in a local area, a street, a community, a town, one landlord is being effectively specially picked out by the VOA. They're being handpicked by the VOA to have their HMO rebanded. And yet four doors down, there's another house identical to theirs, which has also been converted into an HMO. And yet those rooms are not rebanded and there is still one single council tax being applied to the whole property. That to me seems incredibly unjust. In the UK, we have a policy whereby the law should be applied fairly and without discrimination. We should not handpick people to say, you are breaking the law and you are behaving or doing exactly the same thing, but you are breaking the law. We just don't behave like that in the UK. We have a system whereby if a law is broken, it applies to everybody who breaks the law. Now, in this case, it's not so much a law that is being broken, but it's a new tax that's being applied. And the VOA are applying it indiscriminately. I'd actually have less of an argument with it if every single HMO in the country was rebanded, because at least then we'd all be in the same boat. By the way, I'm not suggesting that's the solution, because I don't think more tax is the solution. Actually, the other issue, of course, is the collection of that tax. Given that we know that tenants are now liable if the room is rebanded for council tax, how easy is it going to be for the local council to collect that tax? Surely it's much easier when there's a landlord who's liable, because generally we know where that landlord lives. We can find them, especially if they are the manager of the HMO and they've got a license. So collecting tax from individual tenants, I think, is going to make the job much harder. It's going to be much more costly for the local authority to collect. And in the end, they may regret their decision to partner or to be in the pockets of the VOA, sending information across and allowing those rooms to be rebanded. Not all local councils are like that. We know some local councils who also think this is iniquitous and have put in submissions to the VOA to complain. They have stood up for landlords and said, we don't think this is sustainable in our local area and we wish you would stop this practice. But unfortunately, this practice continues. And until we have an amendment to the law that states that these kind of rooms, many of which are 9-10 square meters, they are not dwellings. They should not be labelled as dwellings. They should not be rebanded as dwellings. Now, I've learned a lot about how this iniquitous policy has been operating over the last year. I've learned a lot about the law. I've learned a lot about how the Valuation Office Agency deal with appeals. I've learned a lot about some of the case law, which has been very conveniently brushed under the carpet by the VOA so that people can't use it or refer it or even find it online. These things have made me clearly very angry, and I feel for people who, like yourself, maybe an HMO investor or maybe wishing to invest in HMOs but fears this happening to them. I can't give you any cast iron guarantee that it won't happen to you. I can only give you some pragmatic solutions that might help you. One of the aspects of this whole process that I have learned, however, is that an early challenge is far better than waiting to take it to appeal. If you challenge with your listings officer as soon as you hear that your HMO has been rebranded, that tends to have more of an impact than waiting and trying to negotiate and then take it through appeal. However, sometimes appeal is the only route you have. One of the other issues we have with appeals is the length of time they're taking. The VOA do not have the manpower or the woman power to be able to administer these appeals quickly. And this, of course, also causes distress and anxiety, where the landlord is wondering, how many months is this going to take? And am I going to be faced with this huge backdated council tax bill at the end of it? There are many problems with this particular issue. It is one that only affects HMO landlords and tenants. It is one that is a niche problem and is one that is complicated and technical. And yet, we know that this could be affecting up to 5 million people when we do the maths on the number of HMOs and the number of tenants that are in those HMOs. So it is a serious problem. But unfortunately, because it is such a niche problem and it is such a technical problem, there are very few people who actually can be bothered to learn about the law and the case law behind it. Understandably so, you've got better things to do with your life. And that's kind of why we're here. That's why the HMO Council Tax Group was formed, was to fight for your behalf, to fight on your behalf as HMO landlords to repeal this, to amend it, actually, so that this cannot carry on. We have Alan Murdy, who is a barrister and expert in council tax, on our reform group. We have Darren Brewer, who is a landlord from Portsmouth, and this has happened to him. In fact, his whole portfolio has now been rebranded. And Matt Baker from Scott Baker Properties is also on our panel. So, and we have a couple of other landlords as well who are on the panel. So we have got a really good group of people, and we have been making traction in the news media. If you go onto our website, which I'll tell you the details of at the end of the podcast, you'll see exactly the news media that we've been placed on this year, which has been really positive. And you know, the coverage that we've had, which is fantastic. But obviously we still want to carry on having more and more of that coverage, because that's going to really, really help pushing the message out there and helping people to donate. We have a GoFundMe page if you wish to donate, and allowing us to increase the support for this campaign so that we can really make this change in the law. We've had support from a couple of local MPs from Portsmouth, Caroline Dynage and Penny Mordaunt, both of whom support our policy. They support our campaign, and we need to get this to the whoever is going to be the new housing minister. Once we have a prime minister, we'll be clearer about the cabinet, and we just have to hope that whoever is the housing minister will take this forward and will make this change to the law. If it's Penny Mordaunt, I think it's very likely that she will make this change. She does understand it. She understands the implications of it. So that's really good news. But we still have some work to do. It's still by no means certain that this will be achieved quite yet. So as you can tell from my energy and enthusiasm, this has taken up quite a lot of my time this year. I've still been running my mentoring group, and I've got some new mentees who've joined the program over the last year, which has been really good. And some of them are getting some great deals. Some of them have got some pretty good deals. Some of them haven't got any deals, because the market is very volatile at the moment, and certain parts of the market are coming up for sale too high a price to make it realistic. But of course, other people are also, you know, recognizing the fact that we've had a lot of capital increases because of the increase in inflation. So house prices have got more expensive. And this, of course, has caused quite a lot of anxiety for a number of people, particularly if you are looking to get investing in HMOs. You might have found finding a deal to be difficult. And in fact, next week on the podcast, I want to talk about finding deals and how to find a deal in what is quite a tricky and tense environment. So look out for that for next week. And I will continue to update you on the campaign. I'm delighted to be back, though. I have to say it's fantastic to be here recording this podcast, and I really hope that you are interested, excited, and still passionate about HMOs, just as I am. Even though we face challenges and difficulties, I really believe, just like Margaret Mead once said, that when a committed group of people get together, they really can change the world. Well, I've kind of paraphrased that, but she said a phrase just like that, and it's really powerful because I think that we can. So our website, if you want to know more about what we're doing as a reform group, is www.hmos, so HMOs and counciltax.co.uk, HMOs and counciltax.co.uk. On the website, you will see how you can join us through the Facebook group, what you can do to write to your local MP. We have a template letter that you can download and use. You can be part of our campaign team if you can start to publicise what we're doing in your local area. And you can also donate. So there are a number of things that you can do to help us push forward, and we would love you to join us. Thank you if you have contacted us over the summer. We will be in touch to update you and to share our news. Summer is always a bit of a quiet time, but come September, we will be relaunching our webinars. And if you have donated to the cause, you'll be invited to come along to those webinars where we not only give you updates, but we also explain what you can do if you have been faced by this problem. So I'm going to sign off now. I've probably spoken enough. You've heard me ranting on enough for today. But I just want to reassure you that if you are in that boat, we are here to help you. We're also here to campaign on your behalf. And there are things you can do too to help push the campaign forward. And we would love your help in whichever way we can receive it. Thank you ever so much for listening. And I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.